is Friday, September 14th, 2012, and welcome to episode 136 of Tech Talk for Teachers.
I'm Cindy Rich.
And I'm Tom Grissom.
We are changing things up a little bit.
Yes, we are. Yeah, for longtime listeners, you may know that we've been doing this as a monthly podcast, but so much happens during those 30 days, we thought we would change things up a little bit and try doing a bi-monthly podcast.
That's right, because sometimes something will happen that would be perfect, and we forget about it by the end of the month.
Right, and I'm thinking of things all the time. Oh, I need to mention that on Tech Talk for Teachers, and it's like, as you say, it just kind of slips away. So, yeah, things are moving at a very rapid pace, so we thought we'd try this bi-monthly format and get this posted about every 2 weeks and let us know what you think out there.
Right.
So this time on the show coming up, we have what we're calling We Have the Technology and We Can Use It. So Cindy and I talk a little bit. Last time, our last podcast was on technology triage and kind of doing some of the troubleshooting things when things went wrong. But since we've all worked so hard over the summer to get all of this technology out there and all of our systems upgraded and working, we thought, let's just focus, you know, on just all the possibilities out there that we have.
That's right. It's sort of we're starting that marathon, the rush at the beginning, the gunshot, and we've all left, you know, the starting line, and now we're setting our pace.
Yes. So we have so many possibilities out there. Technology-enabled learning, the sky's the limit out there. So we'll have a brief discussion on that. And then secondly, I thought we would just mention the four choices of technology integration for educators and just a brief conversation, talk about, you know, what are the different choices that we have available to us out there as educators for using technology, and maybe a little bit about the philosophy of, you know, why you may choose one over the other.
Right. And this is a discussion that happens in every school.
Yes.
And within every faculty, every staff.
Yeah, and every individual. Yeah.
You're right.
So we've got that, and then we'll follow it up with our technology picks of the week.
Great.
So here we go. First up today, we have a section that we're calling We Have the Technology and We Can Use It. After last week's episode, where actually 2 weeks ago, we talked a little bit about technology triage and going through some of the troubleshooting things.
We did.
And I wanted to follow that up. This is our podcast in every 2 weeks now. We're trying to ramp it up a little bit.
The inaugural-ish edition of the bi-weekly.
We've done it bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly, sorry.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Okay. We've done way back when, back in 2007, whenever I started this, I was doing it once a week. And then we kind of changed that. It was kind of like a little five-minute update type thing. And why are we on episode 136 here? So, you know, every now and then you need to mix it up. So we went, a year or two ago, we decided, well, let's just do a little bit more in-depth interviews. And then you came on board.
Right.
So then we were spotlighting some of the Library of Congress and some of the primary sources things. And I think this interview type back and forth format works out well for us. But one of the problems with that monthly podcast is a lot of things happen.
They absolutely do. And we would sometimes miss things because they would happen in that gap and we'd forget to mention them.
So we'll try this for a little bit. And, you know, if you have comments or suggestions, please write in. You can send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu. But I wanted to follow up after our last podcast talking about that technology triage and kind of that tidal wave of teachers and students coming back to school and addressing some of the problems, that now that we're through that first initial tidal wave, we're starting to address some of those lower priority problems and actually getting to the point for the whole point of all of this is to actually use the technology that we've worked so hard for.
Exactly. Everyone now has caught their breath.
Yes.
And is starting to get into that routine, and the comfort is coming back, and everybody knows where they're supposed to be at a certain time.
And this is why we all work so hard to provide that access, and I really want to move past the access and, you know, fixing things all the time to actually use some of the instructional technologies. So I thought we would spend just a little bit of time. I'm just amazed at all of the possibilities that our basic computer and technology setups allow us to do, and I think it's good for us to just pause a moment and kind of take an inventory of what all we can do today with just a basic computer setup.
Right. I think that's a great idea. You know, just like you were talking about how this podcast has evolved as you've been doing the program, and that and changed as the needs and capabilities and that have changed. Same thing with technology, that this is changing, and everyone needs to be aware of that and comfortable with the change, and know that it's okay if something is a little bit different and you want to ask somebody for a hand, but also keep reading up on it and keep aware of what's going on.
Right, right. And you know, some of the basic things, both educationally and also productivity wise, because it's really hard to separate that as a teacher, you know, because you're using these tools as empowering to get your job done.
Sure.
So just some of the basic things, of course, just some of the basic office productivity apps, and we use Microsoft Office here, and all of our new computer installs and the new ITC lab has Office 2010.
Yep.
So, you know, the big three there are Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. I think today's teachers need to be comfortable with all three of those. They all three are, you know, I consider them very basic technology skills today.
Right.
But even within that suite, there's a lot of untouched potential.
And sometimes those are like the basic of our diet that we forget about them, yet we still depend on, because they're not flashy. They're not as sexy as some of the other programs out there.
Right. They're the workhorses that
but
get the job done.
They are. They're that spine that we depend on every single day, yet they're also evolving.
Yes.
And so just because you learned how to use these programs 7 years ago does not, or longer, doesn't mean you know everything. And it's fun to learn the new bells and whistles and the things that help our productivity tremendously, the new tweaks that are added.
Yeah, I was helping a faculty member the other day with PowerPoint 2010. And again, part of this is just an awareness issue, but as these evolutions occur, we're building more and more functionality into, which sometimes leads to complexity, so you're always doing that trade-off. But one of the nice things in PowerPoint 2010, it's very easy now to go out and make like a little screencast recording of a PowerPoint. You just, if you have a microphone, you just literally go up and say, click record PowerPoint, and as you go through your slides, it's recording your voice, and you end up with a video file in the end that you can post up to YouTube.
Perfect. So students can review from that. Mm-hmm. Anyone who is ill or had to miss a class can
review. And with our new Desire to Learn learning management system, you know, that's the other change that's going on right now. That's very easy to post and post a link so students can have access, those students that miss class or whatever. So tremendous potentials. The other thing that happened this week, and just kind of, you know, I was thinking about some of the technology that we use, just basic photo manipulation, image scanning, you know, at the ITC, we have all the scanners here that students will sometimes come in and scan pictures of photographs or whatever for like e-portfolios or whatever they may be. But in today's world with a mobile phone, honestly, those scanners that we have out there are over 10 years old now. And the mobile phone resolution is actually better than some of the scanners that we have.
Wow.
So, you know, but then the problem becomes is, okay, if I take it with my mobile phone, I need to get it off of the mobile phone, which is easy enough to do. And then you need to be able to go out and do some basic image manipulation.
Right, a little bit of editing.
And I had that request this week. So it's like, well, how do you crop it? You know, just using some basic tools. And again, we're proponents of open source and free software when available. And the two programs that we use a lot, Paint.net, which is a PC-based program, and then GIMP, G-I-M-P. I don't know if you use that. I think you touched a little bit of that whenever you're doing that Linux trial that we did this summer. So it works on both Mac, or all three, Mac, PC, and Linux. So it's a cross-platform tool. And again, once you're familiar with the basic processes, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's the, you know, $200 or $300 version of Photoshop.
Right.
Those tools, there's a lot of overlap in them.
There is. And whether your screen you're looking at is a few inches or it's your desktop that's great big, or a large monitor, and that it's nice to have that consistency, and you recognize the different commands and things that are there.
And in the age of mobile phones and things, I know Instagram was one of your picks, so you have all the mobile phone apps and things, and, you know, again, probably hundreds of different choices out there available for specific apps. And then, you know, all these Web 2.0 tools that we're constantly talking about on this show, you know, wikis, podcasts, blogs, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Google Docs, Office web apps, SkyDrive, Dropbox. All of those, I think, need to be in the purview of at least awareness for teachers, and especially our pre-service teacher students.
Absolutely, because we find, as you know, faculty here at the university, our students are coming in aware of these things. Mm-hmm. And so we always, you know, want to at least be close to the same level. And they're experimenting with these technology tools, so we need to at least take a look at them and play with them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then with all the news out there on the flip classroom, you know, just using our flip cameras, the Kodak PlaySports that we have available now, you can very easily post something out to YouTube. We're doing a little bit more with editing some of those tools out there, but that gives you a worldwide audience.
It does.
Literally at the press of a button.
It does. I saw a video this morning on the news. I believe they're called on-go cameras. They're little bitty portable cameras you can attach to a bike or a helmet or anything, which I was thinking for virtual field trips, and that it would be awesome that you just attach it to yourself, you know, so you're not holding it and shaking.
Yeah, sometimes they mount them like to their helmets and things on the bikes.
Exactly. And there was a bike crash, and the bike behind him caught the whole thing, and it was pretty amazing to see it from that perspective of what happened. And so we're getting new access to perspectives on things.
And that's kind of neat if you're a video editor, just to kind of play around with some of those different technologies. And, you know, if you pay attention on the news and see some of those clips, you know, they aren't quite broadcast quality, but you really don't notice it because those cuts are like every 2 or 3 seconds, you know, whenever, and it's everything such rapid pace. And I don't know, the Hero to Go, we can put a link in the show notes out there, but that's one of the more popular cameras. I think you get those like at Best Buy now. So
I think so, right.
And they're getting, you know, relatively affordable. So, but I really like the little flip style cameras that you records to an SD card. Again, all the younger folks out there don't know how lucky they have it today, because it wasn't that long ago that we were recording to tape.
Yep.
And then we went through, we did, you know, tons of video that way.
Had to plug it into your computer.
You plugged
and
transfer the camera in,
and it
was in real time.
Oh,
yeah! Hit play, and then if you recorded something for 30 minutes, you came back to the computer, plugged it into your capture card, hit play, and then hit capture on your computer, and wait another 30 minutes or more for it to be digitized and processed and rendered.
Right.
So I really, really like those SD cards today. That just cuts out so much time, and you know, if you do that, you make it simpler. That opens up new possibilities in the classroom and for educational purposes.
Absolutely.
The other thing, I don't want to overlook podcasting, since this is an audio podcast. I really do recommend teachers, if you're looking for multimedia projects, that audio is an excellent way to start out, because it's a little bit lower maintenance than video. I don't know what it is, but you know, you and I are sitting here recording, so there's no video, you know, of any face, so there's not that, I don't know, feel self-conscious or whatever about it. But students also feel that way when the camera's on.
Absolutely. And I've found anytime I do anything that has images, video, it's very easy to get distracted doing that and spend a lot of time on those details. Mm-hmm. And I think by just focusing on audio, you focus more on the content.
Yeah, and that's why I love listening to other educational audio podcasts out there, because you kind of get right to the point. Also, on the editing side, you know, if you're editing video, you can get away with a lot of edits in audio because you don't have that continuity of field of vision and things out
That's true.
You know, if we mess up right now and I'm waving my hand and then I try cutting that out and then I go to another cut and suddenly my hand's, you know, from the left side to the right side, that's a change in continuity. And, you know, motion picture companies, they have just people on the crew just managing that, you know, whenever you do the cutaway. And there used to be a little game, you know, you used to play if you watch a TV show. And like, look, you go to this scene. Yeah. Like, did you see there was a Coke can sitting on the table there? And over here, it just disappeared. Or he had red pants on and now he has green pants.
Or his tie was one way and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there, you know, there's a lot of tricks and things out there on the video side of things. But the audio podcasting, again, we use Audacity, a free open source program to edit, available on Mac, Windows. No excuses there on as far as the cost issue. If you have the basic computer set up and a $25 microphone, I kind of recommend like a little Plantronics headset if you're just starting out. And then, you know, if you get serious about it, you can invest like we have here in a mixer and then a couple of other microphones going back and forth. But also, those skills are not lost on audio. Whenever you do decide to go to video, you can use those same audio skills that you've learned during your audio podcasting and apply them to the video.
Right.
You're going to have to mic up your people that you're recording and things, and that makes all the difference in the world, that you know, paying attention to the audio.
And that's a great way to start. You really have the foundation before you move to that next level of the video.
And also, in this age of flipped classrooms and things, doing screencast. The audio is extremely important in working with screencast, just simply recording. And, you know, I go out, I do a lot of searches on YouTube and things, and, you know, you can really tell the difference in quality. That audio just makes so much difference, and it captures my attention, so I'm much more likely to watch the entire thing if it has good audio.
Right, right, because you do, you get distracted.
Mm-hmm. You know, just with this 10, 15-minute conversation that we've had here, just think of all the possibilities that we have available out there for us. So, As we have worked so hard over the summer to work on the access, you know, building up the network infrastructure, making sure all the computers are up to date and, you know, working properly, that we have all these possibilities out there for our students. The other thing that we've spent a lot of time on, our new learning management system, we're transitioning from Blackboard WebCT to Desire to Learn. In fact, I'm doing some training this afternoon for some of our staff. These new learning management systems are tying into some of those resources like the YouTube or doing some audio clips that we're actually incorporating more multimedia because more and more things are moving to that online environment. And because the tools are available and the ability to produce that content is getting easier and easier. Right. That's benefiting our students because we're able to deliver that content.
Right.
And because it is in digital form, you can pause, rewind, and watch multiple times, which is a huge advantage over a face-to-face classroom.
Oh, it is. And it's, you know, one of those things where whether you're going to use it to teach in your classroom or if it's something you're going to teach students to use to present to the other students.
Right.
And that, but you want to make sure that you have it. A good grasp on it. And so by doing it yourself, you're modeling it. You're modeling the proper techniques and attributes for your students. Then whenever you have them do something for a presentation and create it, they know what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
And you know, in a previous life, I taught a class with study skills for college students. And in that, one of the biggest hurdles they had, they weren't good at taking notes. They struggled taking notes. Now having the lectures online, they sit through it in class, but to be able to listen to it again or watch it again is huge because they can go in and fill those gaps that they missed.
And we teachers sometimes forget that because we're experts in our field and it just becomes second nature and so natural to us that we don't remember that struggle that we ourselves had that we had to listen, you know, or not listen, but we had to do that skill or whatever repetition, you know, 20 times before it finally clicked for us.
Right, because sometimes those that content literacy, you know, we've talked about and that someone who, you know, isn't strong in a particular discipline needs reinforced over and over, but someone who's an expert, you know, we tend to talk faster and we get passionate and excited and speed up our pace. And so that provides an opportunity for those students that need a second chance at it.
Right. And that repetition and practice. You know, I challenge anybody that's put together, you know, if you've never done a podcast, you know, I would challenge you to go out there and record one. And that first time you're going to listen to it and say, well, that wasn't so good. So I remember my first one and it definitely wasn't so good. But as we've gotten better, you know, as you practice, you do get better as long as you concentrate. You know, that's the other thing that I really stress to our students is sometimes we get an auto mode, you know, the worksheet mode or whatever it is, and this is the assignment. So, you know, we need to do this set of math problems or whatever. So we kind of get automated at it. But it's like, can we look at the problem a little bit differently? Can we, you know, can we take a different path? Can we do it a little bit faster, a little bit more efficiently? Don't just constantly do the same thing over and over and over again. Part of learning is growing out there and finding those different pathways, which is what makes you an expert eventually in the end.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So we have the technology. We definitely can use it. And, you know, I encourage everybody out there. Hopefully everybody has a good start to the school year. And let's take advantage of all this technology that we have available to us.
Right. Let's learn something new today.
Okay. Thank you. Another thing I wanted to discuss on the show today is what we're calling the four choices of technology integration for educators. So kind of whenever I'm out there talking about technology and education, kind of like to look at the big picture, and it's like different people react differently to how they perceive they want to integrate technology.
Right. And you know, these are those things that could be a great psychology case study, because when I do workshops and that, I have people who I know going in, their minds are closed.
Right.
And so how do we encourage people to learn from us? And as teachers, that's what we do every day.
Right.
But teachers also have to keep that in mind with themselves. And I think that's what these four choices represent.
Right. And it also varies by, age level of the learner, too.
It does.
Because adults, look a little bit, with andragogy, we talk about pedagogy and andragogy, the different, different ways that we need to address the learner. And, one of the first things people might throw up and say is, I do not want to use technology at all.
Right.
And that's a choice.
Or I often get that computers hate me.
Right. Right. And so much of that, as you said, is kind of an attitude.
A defense.
Out there.
It is.
As a defense. And, that is a choice. Refuse to use technology, or some people see it as a negative impact. Over the years, as a 21st century, teacher / learner, it's like technology is such an integral part of our lives.
Yes.
And I always love the quote by Henry Ford that says, whether you think you can or cannot, you are right. Because learning is an attitude.
It is.
And if you as you said, I hate computers, or computers are always, I always have trouble with them, or whatever it is. And one of the stories I like to tell about that is I helped a faculty member and long ago retired, but didn't want a thing at all to do with technology.
Mm-hmm.
But then they suddenly developed an interest in digital photography because they had grandchildren in a different state. And that was that one little spark
that opened the door.
And then suddenly it's like, oh, I need to do this. And it's like, well, I better learn about file management. How am I going to manage all of these different things? And it literally was a spark that, somebody that didn't want anything at all became one of the best advocates possible for doing that.
Very nice.
Because they had a personal, useful, practical reason out there for using
it. Absolutely. And, I do professional development events at schools, and you'll have a teacher who's a leader in the building and is amazing at their content, but we will start doing things with technology and they shut down because they're used to being viewed as someone who's knowledgeable and an expert. And it's hard to let yourself be vulnerable to learn something new. And
especially in front of others.
Especially your peers.
Yes.
And so that is something that some teachers, they're like, that's a whole new world. A lot of, I hear a lot of teachers say, I don't have time.
Right.
Because there's this idea that it's this all time consuming activity to learn something new. And I think once they play with it a little bit, they realize, okay, I can do this in bits.
Mm-hmm. So number one, we have the people say, I do not want to use it at all. Secondly, you could say, I just want to stop everything. I want to stop all research and development. I want to just focus and use what we already have.
Right. And we've seen that before with some programs. I won't mention any specifically, but there are some people that we know who, no matter what came along that was new, they wanted to use the same program.
Right.
All of the time.
Right. And, doing that, if you stop going out there and, focusing or looking at some of the other tools, as you said, you kind of get that lock in. However, the benefit of that is you can explore deeper, those tools.
True.
Again, it's kind of that attitude of growth and how you want to approach it, what we were talking in the last segment about. Are you constantly improving, or are you just going through the motions doing the same thing over and over again? Thirdly, you could selectively pick what we want to, attend to and ignore all the other. But if you're that good about going out there and selecting the technology or whatever, because there is not the technology out there, there are many different things out there. you know, we might miss what the next big thing is.
Right.
And, you know, as educators, we've been around, and it's like, you know, we know that pendulum kind of moves back and forth, and we've seen it over our careers in a variety of different ways. So, like I said, you know, the flipped learning thing's kind of hot right now. I suspect it's going to die down one of these years. And, you know, the next great thing is going to be coming up.
And we have this issue of breadth versus depth.
Right.
And sometimes we're torn because do we want to spend a lot of time on one thing or do we want to see everything that's possible? And, you know, there's not enough hours in the day to do both.
Right. And that, you know, that's that time issue that we're talking
right.
about. It's like, you know, we've got to be selective with that time. And I think one of our prior episodes, you said, sometimes I feel like I'm on a merry-go-round just going around and
right.
around and around with all these new technologies, coming. But, you know, the fourth choice that I have out here is we can continue on as we are, you know, riding that merry-go-round, spinning quicker and quicker as we go. You know, letting the R&D go out to the various areas and, you know, letting the market decide out there who the winners are. And then I think probably the compromise, I kind of like what Google does with their employees where they give them 20% time to work on their projects that they're passionate about.
I love that.
So it's that time management because, you know, we can't be expert in everything out there. And certainly in technology, as fast as it moves. So what do you choose to spend some of that extra effort on and focus
right.
on?
And, you know, sometimes letting learners pick the topic
Absolutely.
Helps with that a lot because then they have an investment
it's that
activity.
It's that motivation out there.
Right.
You know, number one, being motivated to learn. Of something of interest, you're much more likely to put effort into it.
Absolutely.
Rather than have some prescribed activity.
Right. So when, you know, you're assigned a topic and you have to do this and that, and it's like, oh, you have no control over whatsoever. But just a little bit of control makes us feel better about it.
Right. So as you're out there, you know, integrating some of the technology into the different classroom lessons and some of your projects and things, you know, keep that in mind and, you know, keep the learner in mind out there. And that learner choice is certainly a critical part of that.
I agree.
My technology pick of the week this week is the Wacom Pen and Touch Bamboo Tablet. And what this device does is you can plug it into your laptop or desktop unit. It's just simply a little slate that you can plug in USB. And this particular model allows you to do both pen and touch. So if you have a screen out here, so for example, I'm in my browser here.
Right.
You can go out here and do the different gestures and highlights. You know, tap is like a click on the mouse. Click, hold, and drag. You can do like the 2 and 3 finger scroll out there to move things back and forth. But what I really use it for the most is this particular model has a pen, like a little stylus. And whenever I do my screencast, this essentially allows me to annotate over on top of the screencast as I'm doing some of them. So I might go out there, you know, if say I'm doing a smart board demonstration, I can go out to my smart notebook program and use my pen and stylus to simulate what it would look like on the smart board
right.
out there. And one of the nice things, again, just we've recently upgraded to version 11 of the smart board, and it's got some new functionality out there that allows you to go to the transparent background, so you can actually go out there. And I think I did an example of that on our last ITC TechShare YouTube video. If you want to check that out, I'll put a link in the show notes for that one as well. But it allows you to annotate things out here, and it's just really nice because that stylus gives you much more control than your finger.
Oh, it does.
Going on out there. And if you're doing a screencast and you're recording all of those different moves, it allows you to do that. So,
well, and it's nice to be able to focus specifically on, because, you know, as we're looking at a web page right now, there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't waste time
right.
for everybody to find.
Right. And it's that thing, you know, pedagogically out there, getting the students to focus. And whenever you throw a web page up at somebody,
sure.
I really like using this just to circle the different links, if nothing else,
right,
to draw that eye to, you know, that attention out there, because it's just a visual cue.
And you're showing the link, but you're showing the whole page. So when a student or someone goes to that page, they're familiar with the setup of the page, and they can find the content quickly because of what you've been able to highlight for them. So it's a great way to ease people into something.
Yeah, also, all of those tools that we were talking about, I mean, they it works with everything. You know, with Microsoft Word, you have drawing tools and things that you can use to annotate. If you're doing PowerPoint presentations, also, you know, you have the pen tool in PowerPoint that this works really, you know, really good for something like that. Or if you're very artistic and get into like the Photoshop editing and things, it gives you some pressure sensitivity and things.
Oh, nice.
Now,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
One of the things I was thinking about is as I use maps from the Library of Congress to be able to trace routes and to highlight things on those maps as I'm showcasing something.
Yeah, that would be great. And then also, you know, having the pinch and zoom capability out there to do that rather than hitting the plus and minus. It just makes things a little bit more natural with some of the gesture-based computing or gesture-based moves that you can do out there.
Yeah.
So
I see with, you know, our primary source analysis tools, I see lots of applications for this because just circling – even document analysis to circle words you don't know, draw a square around, you know.
Right. Or in English, diagramming sentence. You know, it's just a visual cue out there. For
diagramming sentences. Tom, you're dating us. Does anybody diagram? I love diagramming sentences.
Not me. Not anymore. So, you know, just any discipline. I mean, there's going to be some use out there.
That's a cool little tool.
So this is essentially, you know, the iPad. You can do a lot of things with the iPad doing that. You know, same thing with some of the apps and some of the screencasting apps that are available out there on the iPad now. And what I think you're going to see with touchscreens, this will eventually be placed. In fact, I think some of the new Windows tablets actually have a Wacom digitizer built into some of the like the Surface type tablets that we've been talking a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
That would be even better if you can hook it up to a projector, because then instead of me, you know, this is a little bit of a thing because I'm looking at a blank screen, a blank slate, and I'm just, you know, just using XY coordinates here to kind of guess where I'm at. But if it were truly like on an iPad or a Windows tablet, whatever, then I'm truly right on top of that. And then applications like OneNote and Evernote and some of those other things. But I've been using this for 2 or 3 years now, and it's just I don't think I've ever picked this as a technology pick of the week, but it is something that I use fairly regularly, and it has a lot of different functionalities for me. So that's my tech pick.
Very good. All right. Well, for my tech pick, something we mentioned earlier was about the GoPro Hero cameras. And the application, you know, just the classroom applications, but more just the coolness of the whole thing. As, you know, I keep thinking about teachers in science classes doing experiments, that a student is, you know, using one of these cameras to go through every step of an experiment and to be able then, after they perform the experiment, to go back, watch that, and do a voiceover telling about it and explaining what's happening. Or any virtual field trip and, you know, PE classes, health, there are just so many applications I see for this. And it's this neat, handy little camera, easy to transfer the video to the computer for editing.
Yeah, they use an SD card,
right, and all of that. And you were discussing the tech components of it and the quality.
Yeah, well, just looking here, they have a range. We went out there and looked this up, and it looks like they start around $100, $120, and like everything else, you have different models that go up from there. But more toward the top of the line here, it looks like the GoPro HD, what they're calling their Hero 2, is like $299 is what this site's showing. But yeah, I kind of get into the tech specs. So whenever we look out here, we're looking at a 16:9 format, so that's widescreen. 5-megapixel image, so that's a decent, you know, decent camera.
Right.
It will record in MPEG-4, so it's that MP4 file format. You know, works PC, Mac, Linux, doesn't matter on any of those. This particular model, this is that $130, it looks like. But the full HD. It has a secure digital card, so it's just the SD card slot. And all of these, they have like a suction cup mount, right. So you can like mount them. You know, we're talking about like X Games or putting skateboarders. if you're riding motorcycles, it just kind of adds that action shot that you can, like you said, use that suction cup. Some of them have straps.
Yeah, I'm looking at the head mount, head strap mount there, and I'm thinking that is way cool.
Yeah, that you can put, you know, $100 to $300 camera. It's not like you're putting your $1,000 or, if you're broadcast, $10,000 camera out there on a skateboarder's head. You don't want to do that. but excellent quality that these things, and it really does make an interesting video when you do those cutaway shots and actions. Or I don't know, again thinking educational uses, I can't remember what show, if it's Animal Planet or not, but they used to have the Critter Cam. Do you remember the Critter Cam?
Yes.
So you could strap it on to whatever, put it on your turtle or
strap
whatever,
strap it onto the hamster in the classroom and let it go.
See the can, hamster eye view. That's probably a little big for that. But
across grade levels, and I mean, you could make it more complicated as they get older, and that. But yeah, I just see so many. Try to do more hands-on experiences in the classroom, and so not only having them do the hands-on experience, but then go back, evaluate it, reflect upon it, and discuss it, take it into those higher order thinking skills.
And do some of that differentiation of learning, and you find that one student that has that specific interest and say, here you go.
Run with it.
Yeah, running with it. Let it go and see what
you come
up with. Strap
that camera to your head and go.
So that's the GoPro Hero series of cameras out there.
Great.
That wraps it up for episode 136 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.